Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in. The next 10 minutes are inspired by my nose. I hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the engine. Let me be really clear with you. I'm a rather impressionable guy. And I know that may sound like an odd thing, but in fact, there was this period of my time in college where I ate nothing but raw beef for about 2 weeks because I met this guy named Mo and like the quad at Cal, and he was doing some kind of like Tai Chi stuff, bending around, and it was like summer. I had nothing else going on. I was like, what's going on, man? What are you up to? What's this? Because he had some chair set up too. And he's like, oh, well, I do this like body work. And I could see he was like munching on this stuff. Turns out he had a little cooler of raw beef. Mo was eating some raw beef. And I talked to Mo for like an hour or two. Again, it's like afternoon, Berkeley. It's a nice like 78, 79 degrees, little breezy. Got nothing else going on. And Mo convinces me that raw beef is the way to go. I was like, God, that sounds really crazy. And he said he had been eating raw beef for years. So I was like, well, I'll give it a shot. So I went to Berkeley Bowl, picked up a 12-pound chuck roast, cross rib roast, and just started eating raw beef. And it was all well and fine until I was working out really hard again on the rowing machine, and I barfed raw beef. That was the end of that. And let me tell you, raw beef for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, not too bad until your jaw feels like it's going to fall off. So that was the end of my raw beef craze. I made a stew with the rest of it. It worked out just fine. But I gave it a shot. So again, impressionable. I'm listening to an interview with a guy who is a journalist, but ended up working on breathing research, what we do right, what we do wrong, ramifications of things. And he starts talking about nose breathing and how it's this big thing, and how if you breathe out of your nose, there are all of these massive benefits. And he says, you know, it's a little uncomfortable, but if you can exercise while breathing out of your nose, you actually limit the amount of CO2 that gets expelled from your body, which sounds bad, right? Like, why would you want to limit that? But it turns out that the CO2 and the oxygen have to be balanced just right, because if you don't have enough CO2 in your body, then you can't really absorb the oxygen correctly. All of these odd things. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. So, impressionable guy, right? Raw beef. So I hear this yesterday. I'm like, you know, all right. So I go for this little short run, like 2 miles. It's not that bad. And I breathe through my nose. And it was early in the morning. And I'm like, huh, that's not that bad. And it was really interesting. And then I go for a bike ride. Excuse me, I listened to the interview a couple days ago. So I go for this run. It's not bad. I go for a bike ride and breathe through my nose a lot. I'm like, huh, maybe there's something to this. And it was calming. I was focusing on only taking like 2 or 3 breaths a minute when I was coming down the mountain. And today I go for a 7-mile trail run, hills and everything. And it's high noon. It's hot. I'm like, I'm gonna make this happen. So I get out there and I'm running down the street and I'm breathing through my nose, only my nose. My mouth is closed shut and it's a hot day. And I'm running uphill, and I'm thinking, like, okay, this really isn't that bad. And then it starts to get a little bad. It wasn't bad until it was bad. So now I'm running up these hills, and I want to scream. My mouth is shut. My nasal passages started getting really dry. Because it's hot and it's dry, I'm in direct sunlight, and incredibly uncomfortable. I feel like I'm going to throw up. My mouth isn't open though, so it's a very odd sensation. Like I'm gonna throw up from working out, but my mouth is just clamped shut. It's like, what's happening? It was a terrible sensation, let me tell you. And what's worse is I didn't want to give up on it, right? So I was conflicted. I didn't want to stop the task of breathing through my nose on this workout, the goal I set for myself, but I also didn't want to stop working out. So I was going up these hills. I'd have to walk. I was walking up these portions of these hills that I usually run. And it's not like it's no problem. They're hard hills, but I'm running them. Here I'm like walking fast, mouth shut, right? Just breathing through my nose. Trying to breathe as deeply as I can. And my nose is killing me. And I look over and I'm just still in eye shot of some houses before I disappear into the hills. And there's this guy in his backyard and he's kind of looking up at me. And he probably can't see anything I'm doing. But he can see I'm walking. And I instantly go to like, God, man, I must look pathetic. Because if you see somebody working out and their mouth is agape, you know that person's really, they're going for it. They're hammering it. It's like, get after it, man. Get after it. Good job. Right? Whatever capacity you have, if you're taking yourself to the limit, good for you. But not me. Not me. My mouth is shut. I'm not doubled over throwing up. You can't tell the agony I'm in my head. But it's terrible. Like, it was the worst. I'm getting anxious right now just thinking about it. Like, it was literally one of those horror thoughts where it's like you see somebody get kidnapped, right? And they duct tape their mouth shut. I always worry, like, what if you had to throw up? You're like, what would you do? Or what if your nose is clogged? What would you do? Well, you got to breathe, right? That's a problem. That's how I felt. It was terrible. And I started realizing that it really was the perspective of everyone else that I was concerned about. Because there was no indication how horrible I felt in the moment. There was no indication from my movement or from my activity that I was really suffering physically and emotionally. And I was. It was terrible. I do not recommend this. I don't know if I'm going to do it again. Now I kind of feel lame because I'm like, well, you should at least try it a couple times and just give it a shot. But the point is, there's no indication of the torture I was going through. And that really led me to be fearful of what people would think of me. And I think this is a really, really significant problem in all of our lives right now. And especially those of us who do not complain that much. I keep a pretty happy face on. And it's not all a show. I am a happy guy. For the most part. But anyone going through this situation right now has to be having a difficult time. Now, there are some people who really like taking up the drink, and I don't judge them. You need to drink a little bit more. You need to have some beers. You need to have beers earlier in the day, whatever it is to get through the day. I got it. Or, you know, some people are doing other things. I don't really subscribe to those things. It's not like I never drink. I'm not increasing the frequency with which I drink, which is maybe like once a week I'll have some Trulies because I'm wild like that. So outwardly, you're not going to see my behavior change that much. But that doesn't mean I'm not going through it like everyone else. And running up that hill today really reminded me that the thing I'm most worried about is people close to me or people that just observe me and have criticism with my actions, whatever they may be, because they don't understand the hell I'm going through. And perhaps it's overdramatic to say I'm going through hell. Sure. I'm still alive. I'm still doing this podcast. I still have my wife and kids. I'm blessed. But You're kidding yourself if you think it was easy, and it has been easy, and it's going to be easy. And I realize that most people are likely worried about that. Most people that are any kind of respectful adults are probably not throwing fits all day long, are probably not losing it. They're probably holding it together for their kids and their family. But who knows the torture they're going through? Who knows if they just want to scream and throw up and lose it? And who knows how anxious they are about people observing them and judging them and criticizing them? I think it's one of the worst things we can do to assume we understand what somebody's going through based on their outward appearance, based on the stimulus we get from them. The stronger people are, the less they're going to talk about it. And that's a really bad feedback, because then people assume that strong people don't go through problems too. And I think even the strongest of us right now are struggling. So the next time you think to yourself that somebody's probably not really bothered by things, or they're doing all right with things, you should really take a step back and think about why you think that about someone. Is it just because they haven't complained to you? Is it just because you can't outwardly see what's going on the inside? And if that is the answer, if it just comes down to you making assumptions based on what you see with them, maybe reach out. Maybe just check in. If you care about that person, and they care about you, there's likely something lurking beneath the surface. Give them a hand. I'm Matt Todd, and this is The Engine That Drives Me. Go out and crush it. Thank you, everyone, and please do remember the essay classes are lining up daily, as are the SAT and ACT review. If you need some help, just hit me up.